Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Psalm 146 declares, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his death departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." What do you say in times like these? The world feels so dark. The world is full of darkness. The events this last week have made that clear. The last several weeks and months have made that clear. This world is a dark place, and darkness resides in all people. Because of that darkness, people will disappoint us. People will fail us. And we will fail other people. And politicians are no different. Governmental leaders will disappoint us. Those officials we support will fail us. Those officials we dislike will fail us. There's a reason why God tells his people through the psalm I just read to put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. No prince of this world, no leader, no person can save us from the darkness of this world. In the end, every prince of the world, every politician, every societal leader is afflicted with the world's darkness. And in the end, they will all fail. Because in the end, they will all die. They, like all of us, will die and return to the earth. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. There is no salvation in any of them. Salvation from any of this world's ills, from any of this world's darkness, is not found in any politician or political party, Supreme Court justice, president, or president-elect. There is no salvation in any sinful human being. In this darkness, we join the prophet Isaiah and crying out to God, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that God would tear open the heavens to come save us. Oh, that God would split the heavens wide open to deliver us from this darkness." But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light. There is the light. This light shines in the darkness of this world. And in this light, there is life. And the darkness of the world can't overcome this light. St. John proclaimed about this light the words found here, inscribed in the front of our altar. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We have entered the season of Epiphany within the church year. And during this season, we see God revealed to us in and through the person of Jesus. And one of the themes of Epiphany is light. More specifically, Jesus is the light of the world, who shines in this dark world. The season of Epiphany actually began this last Wednesday. This last Wednesday, when we saw clearly the darkness of this world. When we saw the darkness of sinful human beings. But even in this very darkness, Jesus remains the light of the world, the light that no darkness can or will overcome. And his light continues to shine in this dark world. For Jesus, the light of the world, physically entered this world of darkness in his incarnation. God the Father sent his Son into the very darkness of this sinful and broken world in order to usher in his light. And in our gospel reading from Mark, we encounter a specific event where Jesus plunged himself into the world's darkness. Now, I must confess, I've often found Jesus' baptism a bit puzzling. I'm not always sure what it means. Why did Jesus get baptized? It's kind of a weird event. Jesus did not need to be baptized. He didn't need to be saved. And he didn't need to repent of his sins. But he was still baptized. And his baptism isn't the same thing as our baptism, the baptism that we've received. They're certainly connected, but they're not quite the same thing. For Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and his baptism was specifically a baptism of repentance, a washing of sin. John's baptism was an outward sign of washing and repentance. So it was similar to the baptism we've received, but it remains something different. Our baptism connects us directly to Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit, who through baptism has given us faith in Jesus. And while John's baptism was sacramental, it was not the sacrament that we practice and receive. So that being said, why was Jesus baptized? What's going on in his baptism? Well, there's a lot going on theologically with his baptism. For one, Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament. Also, Jesus' baptism is his anointing. At his baptism, God the Father affirms that Jesus is Israel's Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, to save people from their sins. The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus by descending upon him in the form of a dove. And the Father affirmed this by splitting open the heavens and declaring to him, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." But in his baptism, Jesus is also doing what the Israelites never could do. For Jesus is often referred to as Israel reduced to one. That is, the people of Israel reduced to one person, where Jesus does for Israel what they couldn't do because of their sin. Jesus perfectly obeyed and fulfilled God's law, something the Israelites failed to do time and again. Now, John the Baptist called Israel to repentance and did baptize many, but because of their sin, they couldn't even do that perfectly. They couldn't even fully or perfectly repent of their sin. So Jesus, by entering the waters of the Jordan River, steps into a position of repentance on behalf of Israel. Though he himself had no sin, he took on Israel's sin and repented of it on their behalf. In his baptism, sinless Jesus received the cleansing of sin on behalf of sinful Israel. Jesus was baptized, therefore, for the sake of Israel. And furthermore, he was baptized for the sake of all of us. He took on not only the sin of Israel, but all of our sin, too. So now in our baptism, we are connected to Jesus' baptism, where God the Father declared Jesus to be his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased. Because of Jesus, then, in your baptism, God the Father has declared to each of you that you are his beloved son or daughter, and in you he is well pleased because of Jesus living in you. And we also see something else with Jesus' baptism. And consider for a moment the strangeness of what Jesus did there. Jesus, fully God, King of the universe, in whom and through whom the whole universe was created, walked down the muddy, dirty banks of the Jordan River into its muddy and dirty waters. God did this. His feet were covered in the muddy slime of a dirty riverbank. And that of the Jordan River. I had the privilege of going to the Jordan River about 2 years ago. And as far as rivers go, the Jordan is not impressive. It's not very wide. You can throw a rock across it. The water is not clean. It's so muddy and murky, I couldn't see through it at all. And when I entered the river, my feet sunk into its muddy and gross riverbed. And when I dove under the water, I tasted it and learned that it tastes very salty and gross. And Jesus, God of God, light of light, walked into this mud and plunged into this water. Jesus, the one who created this river, was not above entering into it. Jesus was not above entering this water for the sake of those whom he loves dearly. And Jesus, by entering this water, became one of us. People trapped in the mud and dirt of a sinful world. Jesus, the light of the world, plunged himself into the dark and murky waters of this world, joining his creation, joining with us and our sinful condition. And I must reemphasize that Jesus was baptized for our sake. Everything Jesus did and said was for our sake. It was all part of God's plan of salvation. In fulfillment of Isaiah 64:1, then, God has rent open the heavens and come down to save and deliver us. And notice how St. Mark's vivid language echoes that of Isaiah. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. At Jesus' baptism, the Father literally tore open the heavens to affirm that Jesus, the Son of God, had come down to earth, was his beloved Son and the Messiah. And again, all for our sake. God literally split open the heavens to save us. And it is interesting to note that St. Mark uses this vivid language of tearing open here at the beginning of his gospel, but he uses this word again toward the end of his gospel in chapter 15. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When Jesus died on the cross, the temple curtain was rent apart. The division between holy God and sinful people was split, wide open. So Mark bookends his gospel with this splitting verb. This tearing appears at both ends of his gospel. The Father tore open the heavens at Jesus' baptism, and when his Son died on the cross, he tore open the temple curtain that separated sinful humans from their holy God. In both cases, Jesus' actions were for our sake, and in both cases, the tearing or splitting was also for our sake. God has torn through the darkness of our sin and ushered us into his marvelous light through Jesus, the light of the world. God has torn through the darkness of this world to save us. He tears through the darkness of our sinful hearts to make us his beloved children in whom he is well pleased. Jesus, the light, entered your life when you were plunged in the waters of baptism, where God the Father rent open the heavens to declare you his beloved child. And Jesus continues to shine his light into our lives. Jesus continues to plunge himself into the dark and murky waters of our sinfulness, hurts, and failures. Jesus shines his light into all of our weaknesses, all of our insecurities, all of our addictions, and all of our pet sins that we just can't get rid of. The light of the world doesn't run away from our dark and messy lives, but walks with us and through the murkiness. The light of the world exposes our sin, but he doesn't cancel us for it, but instead forgives us and cancels the debt of the sin itself. This light of forgiveness in life is spoken to you when you confess your sins and you hear these words, which we heard a few moments ago. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the light nourishes you with his own light and life, when you receive his body and blood given and shed for you. I began this psalm, this sermon from Psalm 146, and these first five verses bear repeating. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. In these dark days, in the midst of this world's darkness, in the midst of our own darkness, we don't put our trust in any princes or movements or ideologies of this world. Rather, we put our trust in Jesus, the light of the world, who is the Prince of Peace, the Son of Man, the one in whom there is salvation, the one who breathed again even after he gasped his last breath on the cross, the one who, after being buried in the earth, burst forth from the earth when he rose again from the dead, the one whose plans of life and salvation didn't perish when he perished on the cross because of his resurrection. We trust in the light who broke into this world of darkness, and for his sake the Father tore open the heavens to save us, who continues to shine his light upon us and his church, regardless of what darkness may befall us. We trust in this light, the God who tore open the heavens to save you, the Son of God who plunged himself into the muddy waters of the Jordan River for you, the God who tears through the darkness of the world, who plunges himself into this world's darkness to save you, forgive you, guide you, and give you life. In him, in Christ, we put our trust. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.